Thanks for checking out the New American Songbook. Just a warning, there's quite a bit of explicit language in some of the songs that you're about to hear, so we figured we'd just let you know that up front. Here we go.
The term underground gets tossed around a lot in hip-hop, usually, it seems, in an attempt to signal the superior taste of the person bringing it up. Ostensibly, an underground artist is obscure, but deliberately so, slept on by mainstream audiences, and tapped into some kind of arcane but universal truth, the avant-garde. As a genre, the classification is practically useless, and to be honest, I'm not sure how to classify most hip-hop, except to point out where it comes from and when it was made. The most successful hip-hop practitioners become genres unto themselves. Think of Jay-Z, The Roots, Tupac, Biggie. Most recently, the duo Run the Jewels has become its own phenomenon. The MCs LP and Killer Mike were each at one time underground artists. Now they appear on late-night television. Killer Mike stumped for Bernie Sanders during the Democratic primary season. The term underground itself is perhaps inappropriate, suggesting a hierarchy of form that doesn't exist. To borrow an idea from the philosophers Deleuze and Guattari, hip-hop is a rhizomatic art form, connected to itself in a nodal manner, a network without a central hub, rather than a linear progression of influence where a group is either bottom or top. All hip-hop is related, clustered and connected like neurons. What you see or hear is simply a matter of focus.
Support for this podcast comes from Espresso to Go-Go, creating handcrafted coffee drinks using locally roasted beans at the corner of Douglas and St. Francis. Guests may order from the wall or from their hearts. Online at Facebook and Twitter.
And I'm Fletcher Powell, welcoming you into the New American Songbook this week. Of course, with us, Zach Gingrich Gaylord. Hi, Zach.
Hey.
And I think we've got a little bit of work to do because you spend a bit of time talking about how the idea of underground is inappropriate and possibly useless. But I think there is an underground sound. There is such a thing as underground hip hop.
Yeah, probably there is such a thing about as underground hip hop, especially because people claim to be underground. So there has to be something there. I just am unsure what it is most of the time, and I'll give you a couple of examples just in terms of style. You have really rugged styles like a group called the Micronauts out of Minneapolis and Atlanta, and one of my favorite hip-hop groups, but they're very minimalist and really scattershot lyrics, and they're, you could probably say, clearly underground because they're just kind of that, they have that rugged, very unfinished sound.
Verbally murdering, shattering patterns of life like communist leaders live in capital with mass acres. Rank and file soldiers in the cut live dangerous. In the trench, victim of the Willie Lynch futurist. Under the skin, devil antagonist. Mental program, extreme analyst. Vandalist, micronaut evangelist. Handle this like contraband cannabis. Snatching panelists, dealing with high class fascists. Gap called founders, building with fascists. Controlling the masses, crash and burn.
But then you also have someone like a group like Jurassic 5 that would call themselves underground artists, but they're very formal, old kind of old school group oriented hip hop, very constructed in music, very constructed rhymes, and it's an almost opposite sound just in general.
It's interesting to me that you bring up both those groups because Micronauts, just if you ask me, I definitely would consider an underground hip-hop group. The
right.
sound is just so different from what you're used to hearing, and it's not something that would appeal necessarily to a large audience as far as hip-hop audiences go. Jurassic 5, on the other hand, I wouldn't have realized they consider themselves underground hip-hop because their sound, I guess, is so accessible. And maybe that's the difference in my mind is the accessibility of the music.
Yeah, except then you also have someone like, I think maybe the kind of splits the difference between the two extremes of Micronauts and Jurassic 5 in Dilated Peoples. And they're very straight ahead, listenable hip hop, and it's not entirely challenging in a sense, but I'd say they're definitely underground. I mean, they're very, and I really hate to use this term too, but They're very DIY hip hop, right? I mean, they kind of embody the ethos of it's neighborhood music. It's crafted, you know, by hand. There's not a ton of production on it. And it's just about the performance of these kind of classical hip hop values.
So is the label underground something that groups more or less put upon themselves? Are there underground groups that maybe wouldn't consider themselves underground, or maybe it just never comes up? It almost seems like it's a self-label more than anything else.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. I mean, you shouldn't be able to pick your own nickname. But I think when you claim it, just like anything else in hip-hop, if you claim it, you better have either the lineage or the strongmen to back it up. And I think at least the groups that we've talked about, if insofar as they claim that, they're allowed to. I wonder if there's another kind of ridiculous term that we could even introduce is the idea of backpack hip-hop. And it was this sort of in the late 90s, this more literary or kind of more even just, it was a way to differentiate between some kinds of hip-hop, and this backpack hip-hop was maybe more intellectual, like kind of Sage Francis or this kind of more verbose. Sage Francis comes to mind initially, but I mean, maybe even Aesop Rock or more verbose, more kind of arty hip hop. You'd keep your sketchbooks and your rhyme books in there, maybe a can of spray paint in your backpack, right? And it was this whole kind of hip nerd vibe, maybe.
And sometimes, maybe in the case of Aesop Rock, somebody who aggressively makes you think about what he's saying.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Or Sage Francis, who annoyingly makes you think about what he's saying. Yeah, and so you have even another kind of subclassification of that. I don't think anyone really claims to be backpack hip-hop. That's something that maybe is used more often in a kind of in a derogatory manner, kind of winking at that idea. But yeah, again, underground is almost a thing to be coveted. You know, even Mos Def sometimes will, at least he'll shout out other underground artists, right, or people who he considers to be underground, or just like the idea of it. Right, in his lyrics, and he'll give a shout out to underground artists, and it's a signifier that he's still got some kind of connection to the cauldron of where hip hop comes from. It's the birthplace of most hip hop, you know, and it kind of interestingly, it's kind of almost all of hip hop, if you take a step back, is underground. Very few people are mainstream, mm-hmm. And so it's kind of a weird thing. Most 90% of it is probably underground because you've not heard of it.
So if that's how we then decide to define underground is whether or not they're particularly popular, whether you've
right.
heard of it.
That's almost all of it. That's even more ridiculous.
So again, that term underground becomes a little bit problematic.
Yeah, because it's so broad then, especially then. And, you know, you can even, I think, be just as broad in another direction. Is it subject matter? And in that case, you know, I think there would be a differentiation between what's more mainstream, and this very broadly speaking in a lot of generalizations, but a lot of like more pop-oriented hip-hop is more materialistic. It's more concerned with image and consumerism and kind of classical capitalist values on the top. And then underground music, or music that is not that, is generally about what's going on around you. It's more looking just laterally out at people who are on the same level as you are and describing what's going on in your neighborhood, in your city. And again, that's almost all of hip-hop that isn't mainstream hip-hop. So, I mean, kind of ironically, mainstream is a little bit more underground than underground in that it's just more obscure and not as, it doesn't deal with more popular or populist even subject matter.
Well, so it seems like you've hit on the two things that I, as hardly an expert on this, think of when I think of underground hip hop. One is the sound, and especially how accessible that sound is. And the other is definitely the subject matter, whether it's conscious hip hop, you know, mm-hmm. I should say socially conscious hip hop, or as you said, taking a look around at the world around you and the people who are around you rather than trying to talk from that high capitalist sense that the mainstream hip hop often does.
Yeah, I mean, now there's plenty of people who want money in the underground, right? I mean, that's all, you know, and there's always that kind of overlap between what sells tons of records, or at least gets produced in order to do that. That's still within the context of hip hop. But overall, I think, yeah, certainly the subject matter, even delivery of rhymes, you know, how it sounds, those sorts of, I think you can draw some at least lineages, right? I think, you know, when I hear Micronauts, I also hear Scaramanga. But when I hear Scaramanga, I hear Raekwon and Kool G Rap at the same time. And Raekwon and Kool G Rap are certainly not unknown. Kool G Rap is maybe around here a little more obscure, but I mean, most people would know, you know, but still
at least
that,
the name.
At least the name, right. But still that kind of very rapid 16th note kind of accents on the rhymes. That's all this same kind of lineage of sound. I think Kool G Rap would probably consider himself underground in a lot of ways.
Well, so talk about a group. You mentioned Run the Jewels, but talk about a group that has retained that feel, that underground feel, whatever it is, but has sort of vaulted into a more mainstream profile.
Run the Jewels is a perfect example. I don't know. I'm unsure how they did it. I'm not sure if they exactly know how they did it, but it's just such a magical combination. I would be very hard pressed to find a way we'd be able to really talk about Run the Jewels on the radio. Their newest track is unplayable, but it's great.
Well, luckily we're on a podcast,
yeah.
So
yeah, we can do it here. Working on bitches, twerking for service, the bitches bagging some burger. I'm yelling, screaming, and cursing. I'm putting pistols and faces at random places like, bitch, give it up, or stand adjacent to Satan. Batman chilling, the villains is here. No Jesus is here. I hear the demons in my ear. And I want it, I need to see it, I take it. Never faking, wrap you motherfuckers up. They don't seem to have compromised much. So Run the Jewels is LP from Company Flow and produced Cannibal Ox. Has a long history with New York hip hop
and stuff that I personally would consider underground.
Very, very underground. The whole Def Jux label, very antagonistic towards almost success, you'd think. I mean, there's some...
And even the listener.
Right.
It's not exactly easy music to listen to.
No, in fact, there's a documentary on Def Jux where LP says that he wants to make music that you have to run to. And he didn't mean exercise. He meant that it, like, amped you up so much that you just had to get out of there and move fast away. And that's what he does, yeah. Although he has another line where he talks about being so popular, and he says, you know, I could write a banjo beat and someone would call it dystopian sci-fi, you know, which is also true too. Yeah, so he's got a long history of kind of New York underground. Killer Mike from Atlanta was around the same time as Outkast and Goody Mob. That kind of Dirty South era, at least here and at least in my experience, he was always a little bit to the side. He showed up on their albums, but was always very, like, far more political than even Goody Mob. And somehow they managed to get together, and it just really was fantastic. Now they're very vulgar. They kind of take this idea of the dozens, and they just push even beyond what you would think, and it's a very artfully done so. But they've somehow managed to just be massively popular, and still, like, do exactly what they want to do and still remain in character and consistent with their background and their context.
I'll tell you what I think really did it was when they came out with their Meow the Jewels album, which recreated one of their albums entirely with cat sounds.
Which is not a bad album at all. It's, in fact, it sounds awful, but it's pretty listenable.
It's pretty, yes it is.
I'm up at midnight, I'm dipping off in my knees, like a gun on a metal piece, I've been knees, I fist to my wrist, I'm lurking, serving off this, it was too lack of purpose, I got them filled up with frizz, like Miss Ike, is you all recite? I'm looking, lurking on pitch, just twerking for service, to this dish bag is a burger, I'm yelling, screaming, and cursing, I'm putting pistols in faces at random places, like, give it up, I stand adjacent to Satan.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. Well, and they have fun like that. I think the problem is, it's maybe not a problem, but it's an interesting thing now to me that there are so many gateways into accessing music that part of why I don't think underground is so useful anymore is because nothing is really underground. Physically, right? There was a point where you, in order to access what you wanted, you had to seek it out. And I'm just thinking of when we were growing up, punk rock, and you had to like know the right kind of people to get the right kind of catalogs, and you had to then like order from the right. I mean, it was quest oriented to get your music. And anymore, you know, it's all available. And it's just a matter of, you don't have time to listen to it all. So it's a matter of kind of what you hit on and what nodes you end up jumping across.
It's almost either nothing is underground or everything is.
Right. I mean, it's a little bit ridiculous. The only work that you have to do to get any of this music is just selecting out of it. And that's, to me, and probably this is too much of a purist stance that doesn't qualify anything then as being actually underground or actually kind of even novel in the ways that we might associate with underground. It just means that I haven't heard it yet. It's not like I can't. So maybe one last thing I'm thinking about underground. One interesting challenge in trying to separate hip-hop into genres is that eventually it really is all just hip-hop. There's so many variations just between even more classical hip-hop that, again, the art, it really is about the artist or the group and how they perform hip-hop. Everyone is supposed to do it quite differently from somebody else, and you're supposed to have your signature sound. Because the palette of hip-hop is all music from forever, you can use any instrumentation, you can use any samples, you can use any group format. Is it one MC, two MCs? Turning something into a genre is really not true to the nature of hip-hop. I'm thinking of right now, both MF Doom, who is a public radio favorite, has a very signature sound, very signature style.
It'll make you more sober and brought back a long list of fakers who crossed over. I'm like, fuck it, bubble baller. Catch him up at Bob's show, stall him with a trouble caller. Bastard, who can make G's faster than a newly remastered while being true?
And then I'm also thinking of a group called Anti-Pop Consortium, who I saw a live video on YouTube of them at KEXP performing, and they had all their whatever the machines do around, and they're doing the anti-pop thing, but it was weird, and it was complicated, but it was still hip-hop all the way, and I think it just is. Hip-hop resists classification in a really interesting way, and yeah, you can say, okay, this is on Napster or Spotify or something, they'll go ahead and break it down. This is street hop. This is 90s gangster rap. And there's some usefulness to that, maybe. But again, what's the difference between Ice Cube and Run the Jewels? Well, the difference is that one is Ice Cube and one is Run the Jewels, eventually. But they're both just as hip-hop, and they're both just as much of a part of that. And the lineage is all still kind of the same thing. So that's, you know, maybe that's my kind of last thought is I don't... It's all hip hop. When I came in, the game was about change. Without doubt, watching the haters about face. The breath of a bars, your boys above par. Cut from a stitch in the cloth, this long lost. Switching off the switch in your back, switching me on. Switching on these Mitchell and S-men, chessmen. Old vets and young rappers off of the bench can get it. Some main shots, two fitteds with it, who benefited. With the pen, we needed to get. Thanks, it Zach, for being here for the New American Songbook. It's always good.
Thank you very much.
And for KMUW, I'm Fletcher Powell. You ain't got to say to go. In my lane, I won't follow. All I do is drop the now. Okay, now. Gem of a gentleman, your measurement is minuscule. Mr. Primetime, shit on your shine. Clock cleaner. Closed casket, this magnificent bastard will break your heart and enjoy it. Best get away and avoid it. Like a fire alarm with no battery yeti. Crop circle cycle. Dr. Mangala Mike walk riot back. The ball back is ball being cool as quills. Shell shocked.